Help my unbelief. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that we all need to pray. You know, we're continuing our series, Doubt. We're looking at various kinds of doubt that we have. And I've said it's a very complex topic. Doubt's something that we all struggle with from time to time. And some of you today, you may be doubting God. And, you know, so I kind of want to set this up and ask you, when things spin out in your life, and they will, when life doesn't go the way you planned, when you can't see there's a way out or a way through, where do you turn? Who do you trust? And I know sometimes that when something bad happens or something that's unfair, you start doubting God because you don't understand why it's happening. You start doubting that God's there. You doubt that God cares at some point. And you might find this surprising, but Jesus experienced doubt. You know, the day before Jesus was crucified, he was abandoned by everyone that was close to him. You know, Judas, one of the disciples, was really instrumental in helping the authorities find and arrest Jesus and betrayed him of all ways with a kiss on the cheek. And then the other disciples scattered. They all abandoned him. We know, because we talked a couple weeks ago, Peter three times denies even knowing Jesus. And then the crowd turns on Jesus. You know, it was Passover, the Roman government, they had this practice of releasing a prisoner of the people's choosing, and Pilate gave the crowd a chance to free Jesus. But instead, they chose to release Barabbas. Now, Scripture says that Barabbas was a notorious criminal. He had been convicted of insurrection and murder. And friends, it's hard to understand how the crowd would choose Barabbas and then demand the crucifixion of Jesus, but they did. Jesus was tried, he was convicted, and we know from Scripture that he was beaten, that it was the kind of flogging that laid open the flesh, in fact, many times exposed internal organs. That's how awful it was. It was severe, it was gruesome. And then they put a crown of thorns on him. They spit on him, humiliated him, nailed him to a cross. And it was really common in that day that anyone that was executed that way, that they would put a sign above that said what the criminal had done. And so everybody knew why this person was being executed. And I'm not sure if Pilate was making fun of Jesus or taking a shot at the Jews, but he posted the sign, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Well, if they only knew the truth of what was written that day. You know, Jesus was crucified between two criminals, and as he was dying, people mocked him. They taunted him. They hurled insults at him. In fact, it says, he saves others, but he cannot save himself. Isn't this the King of Israel? If he will come down off the cross now, we will believe him. He trusts in God and claims to be God's son. Well then, let us see if God wants to save him now. You feel that? They're taunting him. You trust God. Where's God now? And friends, if you had been there watching and hearing all this, you might not have said it, but you certainly would have thought it in that moment. You know, we ask that question, don't we? Where's God? Where's God when we lose a job unexpectedly, or we go through an unexpected breakup, or we're betrayed in some way, or a victim of something that we see as unjust, you know, get a bad diagnosis? Where's God? And let's be honest, it does not take much for us to feel like God's abandoned us. I can't imagine how Jesus felt. I can't even begin to get my mind around it. It had to be overwhelming. It had to be confusing. Do you still trust God? Do you? You know, trust in the Greek, it's pithos. It's to have full confidence, complete trust. And yes, it's easy to trust God when things are going well, isn't it? But when things get difficult, when things go south, we get caught off guard. I mean, that's when most struggle, right? I mean, that's when we face one of the most fundamental questions in life. Do you really trust God? You know, since the beginning, since creation, Satan has tried to get us to doubt God. You know, he's tried to undermine the character of God, the authority of God, the trustworthiness of God. You know, it's in the garden, the serpent, which was Satan, by the way, he says, did God really say, don't eat from that tree, that one over there? Did he? I mean, God knows when you eat from that tree, you'll be like God. And the implication is very clear. You should not trust God. And Adam and Eve apparently did doubt God because they ate the fruit. And we've been dealing with the consequences ever since. It's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth. It's why he died on the cross, you know, so that he could reverse the consequences of that. Reverse the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience. Reverse the consequences of sin. Actually defeat the power of sin. Again, it's easy to trust God when things are going well, isn't it? I mean, when it doesn't require any sacrifice, it's easy to trust God. Or it doesn't challenge what you want. But I'm going to ask you again, do you trust God? Do you totally trust God? Do you absolutely trust God? You know, when things go dark, we doubt, don't we? I trust God, but this is different what I'm going through now. You don't understand. This is very difficult. Jesus is dying on the cross. Scripture says this, at noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. Jesus has been totally and completely and fully obedient to this point, lived a perfect life, a sinless life, you know, which is way more than any of us can say, right? But at noon, it goes dark. When I read that, it's almost like God was saying, you know, the sun will not shine on this event, what's about to happen. It says, about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me or forsaken me, according to what version you're in? Jesus had been obedient through all the suffering, the abuse, not my will, but your will, Father. Never once in all the pain and abuse had Jesus complained about anything. But when God withdrew his presence, and he withdrew his presence because he couldn't look at sin that Jesus was taking on, that's when the darkness covered the earth. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? You know, the Greek, it means he screamed. He screamed that. I can't take it. I don't understand this. You know, why? Why God? throughout the Gospels, Jesus, anytime he referred to God, he said, Father, Abba, Daddy. At this moment, this is the darkest moment of his life. It's the darkest moment in history. There's doubt. My God, why? Why? Jesus felt abandoned. He felt alone. I think this might be one of the saddest pieces of scripture that you can find. I mean, it's definitely confusing. Every time I read it, theologians have struggled with this for centuries. You know, how could God forsake God? It happened. It's a challenging question. I'll be honest with you, I do not begin to totally understand it. Can't get my mind around it. I mean, when I read it, I think, well, surely Jesus understood what was going to happen. I mean, he knew that moment was coming, didn't he? I don't know. I just don't know. But it is a question that we all face when things turn on us, when things go dark. We're like, why? Why, God? Where are you at, God, in the midst of this? I don't understand this. Friends, there have been things that I've gone through in my life, and I did not understand until I got a little further down the road, sometimes a lot further down the road. There are things I still do not understand, and I probably won't ever understand them this side of eternity. And any of you, I've shared with some of you privately, I keep a little journal of things I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. I need an answer. Although I imagine when I get to heaven, it'll all make sense. But you have doubts. We all do. Especially during the dark times. You know why? Because you cannot see things from God's perspective. Let me ask you, are you going to trust God? Are you? You know, the Apostle Paul, he was comparing our perspective now that we have to the perspective we'll have in eternity. And he writes, he says, what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Right now, you only see in part. You know, if I ask you to look at these letters here, many of you would go, oh, it says nowhere, nowhere. Many of us, when we're going through difficult times, when life gets really dark and complicated, it seems like God is nowhere to be found. But when you completely trust God, you see things differently. And I would suggest it says now here. God is now here. God is in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are doubting. Some of you are wondering, where is God right now? And that is a critical point in life. Because for some, when you feel abandoned, what happens? You get mad at God. Can't believe God let this happen. You know, instead of running toward God, our tendency is we run away from God in that moment. You know, when you doubt, what happens? Some quit. You just quit. You know, some quit reading their Bible. Some quit serving, stopped giving, stopped going to worship, stopped talking to people around him, Christian friends that could see him through. And he just quit leaning into the things of God. And I would tell you, those are the things that will sustain you and see you through. So when you're struggling with doubt, and we all will, you're wondering, where is God? I would challenge you to remember that God loves you and God is with you. And to just imprint that in your brain. You know, the Hebrew writer says, for God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Let us be bold then and say, this is, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What could anyone do to me? I mean, Jesus said something very similar right before he ascended to heaven. It was actually his last words to the followers in that day. He says, I'll be with you always, always to the end of the age. No matter how far you feel from God right now, you need to hear this. God is with you. You are not alone. You may feel abandoned, but God is with you. You may feel isolated today, but God is with you. You may feel alone, you may be confused, but you are not alone. God is with you. And when you know God, when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, when you know the one that sits on the throne, friends, remember that you can say whatever you need to say to God. You can take your hard questions to God. You can be honest with God. The Hebrew writer says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. Christ followers, you can with confidence come boldly, Scripture says. Come boldly before the throne of God. Bold prayers. Bold questions. God is not intimidated by whatever question you have, whatever concern you have, whatever gripe you got. Say what you need to say to God. Ask for what you need to ask for. I will tell you, sometimes God will answer you and make things very clear. Sometimes not. But God will always, 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 always meet you where you are. And guess what you find? You find mercy. You find grace. You find the help that you need, the strength to get through another day. Not 2 weeks, another day. And then he'll give you that again and again and again. And I would challenge you to remember when you're doubting, to remember this part of your story is not the entire story. You know, Jesus, he was abandoned on the cross. And then he dies. But that was only part of the story. I mean, we know the rest of the story. You know, 3 days later, he walks out of the grave, conquering sin, conquering death. There was a purpose to the pain and the suffering. He changed history, changed eternity. I mean, friends, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're confused, if you're doubting, it's okay. But remember, you only know part of the story. You can't see the rest of the story. I tell people often, do not let a chapter in your life define your life. Your story's still being written. When you doubt God, friends, remember, God's got a plan. It says, And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Pain, hurt, the struggle are all part of life. You're going to face it. I'm going to face it. It's just what we go through. But what I've noticed, when you get distance from it, when you look back on it, you know, a year later, 5 years later, 10, 20, you realize it was just part of your story, but it wasn't the whole story. In fact, some of that stuff, you go, I don't want to go through it again, but God did this out of it. I would encourage you in the midst of the pain, amidst of the hurt, the doubts, that you begin to turn why God, some get stuck there, to what God. You know, ask God, what do you want to teach me? You know, the Hebrew writer tells us this. He says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, this is interesting, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Jesus learned obedience. That's curious. From the pain on the cross? I mean, when he screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me, abandoned me here? You see, God wasn't intimidated by that question. Jesus was obedient. He stayed on the cross because he understood the what, that he was there to save humanity. You know, when you're going through something difficult, that challenging season, some of you are there right now, the what is an extremely important question for you to ask. If you don't turn the why God, into what do you want to teach me, Lord? At some point, what you'll find is doubt will overtake you. You will doubt God. You'll doubt God's goodness. You'll doubt God's love. You'll doubt that God's with you. You got to shift the question to what? You know, start leaning into things of God. God, I know there's a purpose in this pain. What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? And then ask God, what do you want to do in me? You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is a great example. He had these personal struggles. We don't know what his struggle was. We just know that on three occasions, he begs God to remove this thorn in the flesh that he had. And three times, God didn't remove it. You know, Paul, I think he could have very easily felt rejected, abandoned. Like, I can't believe I'm doing all this stuff, Lord, and you're not doing anything. But Paul, he has this response. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, things God had shown to him through the years, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. He found a, what do you want to do in me, God, in the midst of his struggles? Three times, God, please take this away. And three times, God says, nope. He didn't stay with the why, though. Why are you doing this? Why do I got to go through this? He shifts to the what. Oh, God did this so I wouldn't be conceited. Sounds conceited, but anyway, you know. God was doing something inside Paul. In a dark day, challenging time. Well, friends, sometimes that reveals to you where you're weak. Sometimes it's that temptation that that you're struggling with, that you realize you got to deal with, that thing that maybe hinders you from being all that God wants you to be. And I would encourage you, if that's where you are today, to become a steward of the difficulty, a steward of the hurt, the pain, confusion. God will use it to do something in you. But you got to be looking toward that. And one other question you need to ask. God, what is it you want to do through me? Many times when God wants to do something great, it comes through the pain, the troubles, you know, the trials that you go through. With God, hear this, with God, always, 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 the pain has purpose. God used Paul's in a powerful way. We talked about that. He was an early leader in the church. He established churches all across the continent. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament. God used him in a significant way. Jesus, his worst day, and do not miss this, his most painful day, the day he felt abandoned, God did something amazing in that day. You know, on the cross, Jesus paid the price of sin, sin debt for all of us, for all humanity, for all time. He stayed the course. He did what God had brought him here to do. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have forgiveness of sin because there was purpose. There was a purpose to Jesus dying, purpose to that pain, a purpose to that sacrifice. And friends, God will often use your greatest pain, whatever that is, as a launching pad for your greatest calling. In fact, I could go around and go, this person does this because they went through this horrible thing back here. Your greatest ministry many times will come out of your greatest misery. I mean, friends, when you cannot see ahead and you're confused and you find yourself doubting, I want to suggest to you, you trust God's heart. Trust God's heart. That day when Jesus is dying on the cross, he could have called down 10,000 angels to rescue him. But he didn't. No, he trusted his heavenly Father. He trusted God's plan, even when it didn't make sense. And do not miss this. You know, right after Jesus cries out, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can't believe it. Where are you? The next words from Jesus are full of trust. I think we miss this so many times. It says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. I imagine in that moment, he was talking with God. This isn't easy, Father. But I trust you. This is extremely painful. But Father, I trust you. I do not like it, but I trust you, Father. And I'm suggesting, maybe it's hard right now. Trust God. You may feel alone. Trust God. Maybe you're a little bit confused today. Why do I got to go through this? Trust God. When you think God's abandoned you, trust God. Trust God. In those times of doubt, you lean in to God and you trust God. Even when everything in you goes, I don't know. Trust God. Friends, I'm not saying overnight it all comes together. But whatever it is that you're going through, and you got to trust God. He's the way through. I'll close with this psalm. This is one you might put on your phone, put it somewhere on your computer so you see it every morning. Put it on the mirror when you get up in the morning. Those who know your name and trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who, what? Seek you. I challenge you to seek God. Whatever you're at today, seek God. Trust God. Seek God. Trust God. He'll see you through. You're not going to make it without him, especially if doubt's overwhelming you. Trust God. And the way you trust God is you seek God. And when you seek God, you trust God more. See how that goes? Just keeps you rolling. So let's bow in a word of prayer to God. Our holy God, God, we praise you. We praise you in the midst of doubt. We praise you when we're struggling. Give us the strength to praise you in the pain, in the hurt, in the confusion. God, give us the strength to just trust you, to lean fully into you when everything in us is questioning, wondering. God, may we trust you through whatever it is today. God, we thank you for the promise of your word that you'll work good out of whatever the situation is. That you're with us through whatever it is. That you love us, that you have a plan. God, forgive us when we doubt that. God, give us strength. Give us vision when we don't believe. God, I know there are some here today that they've lost hope. And I pray your Holy Spirit would just minister to them. Remind them that you're right there by them. That they can trust you. God, help us to live in a bold way. To have honest conversations with you. Just trust you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said? Amen. There'll be prayer teams down front. You need prayer today. Maybe you're at that point. You go, man, I doubt that God's even paying attention to what's happening. Come let them pray with you. There is power when people gather, God's people gather and pray. And so let's stand, we're going to sing, and let's lift our voices to God.